Luck never works when you need it. This is Thought for Today. Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. Luck never works when you need it. Well, that's only too true. When you need it, you don't believe it's going to work. When you need it, you don't believe that it's a benefit to you. Every time we need something, we close the door on what it is that we need. We say, I have not got it. Have you ever thought of that? I have not got it. And when you say, I have not got it, you are reaffirming the fact that you have not got it. Now, little children don't do that. They affirm the fact that they have that which is unseen, and they get that which is unseen. Because it's already theirs, it's in consciousness. They merely open their door, or their mind, their thought, and then, poof, in it flows. And it comes. Luck is what? Luck is the proper use of affirmations. When you say, I have, I am, it is done, then that is luck. Now, we define luck as chance. And, of course, you and I know that nothing happens by chance. There is always a cause for every effect in this entire universe of ours that we are aware of. Okay. So, luck is the cause you put in motion and the effect that you have. You didn't say, I just lucked out. You went in there expecting it with all of your heart and soul and being, but not panicky. Just expecting it. And poof, like the sun popping through the clouds here. Poof, there it is. Now, could the sun disappear through the clouds again? Sure. Do we like the sun? Sure. Do we like the rain? Sure. We like all these things. And we like them all in moderation. We like them all when we want them. Now, wouldn't it be lovely if you're going to have a wedding, and we have lots of weddings. You're going to have a wedding, and the wedding's going to be outdoors. And so you go outdoors, and it's a cloudy day. And as you stand there and you do the ceremony for the man and the woman, you say, do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? Do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband? And each say, I do. And they look into each other's eyes, and just at that moment, the sun breaks through the clouds and strikes them both on the face. You say, what luck! Oh, no luck about it. Their joyous hearts, so happy that they have accomplished what they wanted to do in making this marriage, it let the sun shine. In fact, they could have shined it back that way, up to the heavens, because that's what they were doing. And quite likely, it was a two-way transmission. But you see, that's not luck in the sense that it's by chance. It is luck by the sense that they have done it. Now, we cannot take a word and redefine it for our pleasure. Because with every word comes whatever meaning stands behind it. And the meaning that stands behind the word luck is chance. And the meaning that stands behind the word chance is maybe, maybe not. It depends. The luck of the Irish, so to speak, you know. What meaning stands, what meaning stands behind the luck of the Irish? It means that the Irish are always lucky, you know? And I mean, that's a good cause to put in motion, isn't it? The Irish are always lucky. The Irish always have happy circumstances happening to them. Now, that's beautiful. That's the type of thinking that we want to put in our consciousness, in our heart. We want to put in our consciousness, in our heart, that we are the master of our circumstances by the causes we put in motion. Okay? Again, if we want to redefine a word, that's a nice thing to do, but you can't. Because humanity and the dictionary have the word defined in its first, second, or third definition. And if you go beyond that, then you're taking a chance. Because people don't always know definitions beyond the common usage of whatever the word is. So if you say, oh, damn, well, that means negative right away. But, oh, damn, I broke a nail, you know, a fingernail. Well, Golly, Moses, is that worth a damn? You know, is that worth something as strong as a word like that? And when you use words and you use them carelessly, they lose their effectiveness. And so the word damn, which meant something really bad, is just a broken fingernail. You follow me? Mm-hmm. And so we do that to words, but of course that comes in the third, fourth, and fifth definition. We want to be very careful. We want to be very careful how we use our words. And luck is one of the words that we have to be very careful about. Because this is my lucky day. Everything's going my way. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not a lucky day. It is in a way that you're going to be blessed in many ways, but you're stating everything's going my way. You're stating you're a happy, receptive individual to your good. You know, this is my good day. Everything's going my way. It still sounds good, doesn't it? Okay, but you see, by the use of the word luck, we take the word chance. Hey, how can I have a lucky day? You know, how can I have a happy day? How can I have a successful, joyous, beautiful day? And hey, just by saying that, just by putting those causes in motion, just by doing those things. But the word luck is with us. And it's a word that has many faces to it, many uses to it, many, many expressions to it. And we have to be very careful as we are reading the word luck as to what it means to us. So, my thought for today is, if we train ourselves to use beneficial words properly, we'll have a happy, happy life. If we allow ourselves to be human and use terms that humanity uses, oh, that always happens to me. Oh, I never have any happiness. Oh, everybody else got good luck, but I don't have any, you know. Well, you see, those are terms, and lots more like them we don't want to use, but those are terms that shut it off. They shut off the good. What are we supposed to do if we want to bust a cloud, or if we want to make a cloud disappear?
We
see
the blue sky.
You?
Yes, the blue sky.
Yes, what?
I see it.
When we want to see a cloud disappear, we take our concentration 100% away from the cloud, because we don't give it power to be there, and we see the clear blue sky. Now, how can you see the clear blue sky when there's a cloud in the way? That's an art. And that's the art that you can learn to enjoy life. Whenever there's a problem in life, if you concentrate on it, you empower it. If you concentrate on the solution, you empower it. Isn't that nice? Isn't it nice to empower a solution? Wow! That's what we all want to do, is empower a solution. And we empower a solution only when we give it our attention. We empower the problem, which unfortunately happens all too often, when we give it our attention. And what ignorant people we are not to recognize this, not to recognize that we are the ones who create the world to do all the things that it's doing. What's going on with Mr. Hussein? You know, what's going on with the other parts of the world? What's going on with the Greenpeace? What's going on with the ecology of the world? What's going on with the government and asbestos? What's going on with 1,000 and different other possibilities? What's going on? All is in divine order. Oh my goodness, so easy. All is in divine order. Oh no, that's not easy. That's taking your attention away from the problem and putting it on the solution. All is in divine order. But I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying what divine order means. Well, what does divine order mean to you? All is harmonious. All is functioning in a beautiful way, in its perfect way. So if we can train ourselves not to have to be people who want to tell other people all our problems, we're okay. But we don't do that, do we? We love to say, oh, I just had my appendix out. Oh, I just had my teeth fixed. Oh, I just had my hair done. Oh, my God, shut up. If your hair looks so terrible right now, yeah, if it looks so terrible right now, I wouldn't tell anybody I just had it done. If your hair looks glorious, as far as you're concerned, Let the world make their own observation. If you look glorious, you look glorious. Don't go telling the world about it. Let the world see it. Now you say, well, Herb, that's just empowering the positive. No, you're empowering the fact that yesterday your hair looked terrible and today it looks nice. You see? So if you just go around and, like, I got a haircut and I came into the group and I said, do you notice anything different? They said, no. I said, thanks a lot. And well, but what'd you do? I just had a haircut. Oh, that's nice. You know, like, that's the right kind of response. I look so normal, so beautiful, so handsome, you know, that and no different than yesterday or any other day. You know what I mean?
Ah.
Just absolutely glorious. And so why should they notice any difference? And this is how we should always be. Always look glorious. Always feel glorious. Always act glorious. Always be glorious. And see that in all of our creation too. Now, what is our creation? Our creation is every person on the face of the earth. Every object, every place, everything, every activity on the face of the earth. Everything. You say, come on, Herb. Saying I'm God is one thing, but being God, that's another thing. You know, taking charge for creation of everything on the earth. Well, that's true. That's true. You see, I'm going to tell you this, and I don't expect you to believe it, but I know it's true. Ha, 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 ha. You are only using 0.1% of your brain, and you think you know it all? Just imagine if you used 10% of your brain. What you would know would be absolutely fantastic.
Oh, yes.
And if you used 100% of your brain, you'd be God. Well, you are already, but you're just not using it. And when you're God, you don't think anything about creating it. You say, well, let's see, it's Wednesday afternoon. I think I'll create, that's my day for creating planets. Thursday, that's my day for creating people, you know, and stuff like that. And super, you know, but why not? Why not? And that's just flamboyant. And why shouldn't God be flamboyant? We are flamboyant when we know it. If I say, Sylvia, what's the capital of Wisconsin, where the courthouse is in Madison? What's the capital of Wisconsin, Sylvia?
Madison.
Oh, you're so pleased to tell me Madison. Oh, you're so thrilled to tell me Madison. And you see? But doesn't God have fun?
Yeah.
I mean, but you know it, and you see, the answer is in the question. But with a little help. But that's what we all want to do, is to live our life with such flamboyance and such effervescence and such enthusiasm that everything we do is a joy. But we have to be careful of words like luck, because words like luck make it as though it's not our responsibility. It's not our opportunity. It's not our, what would you say? It's not our, we're not in control. We are. We're 100% in control. Okay, Sylvia. From this day forward, I expect you to use at least 10% of your intelligence.
Yes.
Ellen, I expect you to use at least 10% of your intelligence from
Thank
this
you.
Day forward. And you too, Ingeborg.
Thank you.
Button, you too. Snuggles. Love, you too. Okay. Wow. Can you imagine if our dogs used 10% of their intelligence? Why? They'd be quite an experience for us, wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't put anything over on them. We couldn't say, come here, and then give them a bath. They would read our mind.
Mm.
They'd say, you're thinking of giving me a bath, and my body smells just perfect right now. You know, I've worked on building up this odor around my body so that no other animals will know that I'm around. And you want to mess it up with perfume and so forth. So, you see, this is the beauty of being what you are. Now, I'm not saying something unusual. Scientists are telling us that we're using a very tiny bit of our brain. Now, why don't we have a school how to use more of our brain? Just purely using more of our brain, not facts. Facts is not using your brain. It may demonstrate it, but it's not using your brain. So when we send people to riding school, let's just use that as an illustration. They're learning how to ride a horse. All right. What is it we are teaching people as they go to horsemanship school, as they go to equestrian school? What are they learning? they are learning to be master of themselves, and that when they get on the horse, they are the master of that horse, and that horse does everything they want it to do, but with one proviso. And what is that? With love. There is not a matter of threateningness. There is not a matter of manipulation. There is not a matter of control with force. It's just, I'm getting on this horse, and this horse is going to ride, it's going to do whatever I was going to do. I will just think my thought, let's canter, and he will canter along. I'll think my thought, let's stand there and lift your legs up in the front, you know, like I'm a master here. and I'll lean forward as you do that, so I'll stay on. And he'll just do that. And what the heck? The horse listens. What is that story we saw in the movie? It's called The Whisper, The Horse Whisperer, remember?
Yeah.
What did he do with the horses? He spoke to them from a long distance. The horse was in the middle of the field. And he says, hey, I got confidence in you. I love you. I don't want anything from you. You just stay there, I'll stay here. I'll chew on my piece of grass here, and you just chew on your piece of grass there. Pretty soon the horse comes over, walks around him, and shoves him with his nose and says, hey, you're okay. I am not threatened by you. See, I'm not threatened by you. Let's work as a team. You know, I like it when someone takes me someplace, when they ride me, when we do these things. But I like it because the person thinks that I like it, you know. And this is a wonderful thing. Now, you see, aren't we getting a message? If you can whisper to a horse, if you can take a child and have him sleeping in his bed, and you go into his bedroom and you say, well, my little genius, tomorrow is another beautiful day. You are fabulous. Your mind is alive with ideas and creative imagination. You can do anything you want to do. Any thought you have in your mind, you bring it forth by your word alone. You're wonderful. I'm so proud of you, you know. I'm so proud of you. What's going to happen when the kid wakes up in the morning? He's going to leap out of bed and say, well, Mom, I feel wonderful. And Mom will say, well, that's good, no different than usual. Mm-hmm. But it's different because he is now the master, and he doesn't have to show it. He just thinks his thought, he says mentally, as he's coming down the stairs or coming in the room, I feel like a big glass of orange juice today, not the little schnapsy glass. I feel like a big glass of orange juice. And so he walks into the kitchen. His mother says, well, precious, I've got a glass of orange juice here for you. Is this big enough? And it's a full 20-ounce glass. Ooh-wee! And he says, yeah, that's pretty good. And she says, in case you want some more, here's the bottle. Now, that's creating it in your consciousness. You say, well, hey, you know, that's so simple. Yeah, sure. All things are simple. But you have to be careful. You're not manipulating your mother. You're not having luck in getting what you spoke your word for. You are the master. And as I say, wouldn't it be wonderful if our schools could teach our children how to release that pent-up genius within them. And one of the ways to release it is at night, before you go to bed, or before you go to sleep, say, I am the master of my world. I am the creator of everything in my world, and everything is good and very good. And I love everybody, and everybody loves me. You know, whatever you need. If you get to the point where you say, I love everybody, and you believe it, you don't need to know that everybody loves you, because it doesn't matter. Because everybody just does. And you see, this is the beautiful thing of this. Now, that'd be lovely if they taught that in schools. I often told you it'd be nice to have 12 test tube babies here and raise them as little Jesuses, you know, as little geniuses. And the difficulty is, where are you going to get the babies? And where are you going to get the people who are going to raise them in that purity of consciousness that you're expecting of the children? So For the moment, these are going to be pipe dreams, but they have the possibility of being real. If we ever choose to put the cause in motion for us to do it, it'll be done. Follow me?
Yeah.
Now, so far, none of you have put the cause in motion for you to do it, because you don't want to take care of squalling little kids and changing diapers and stuff like that. But if that's how you visualize it, then I wouldn't like that either. But if you visualize it working with the little Christ childs, each one the Savior itself, each one the Messiah, you could only see in them beauty and goodness, and they could only show you beauty and goodness. But it means you got to be
a master.
Very true. Okay, on that note, we will get ready for the next lecture, which will be instant inspiration, and the topic is going to be the rear view mirror is clearer than the windshield, which means that luck is only whatever definition we give to it, and we don't use it outwardly because other people have different definitions. And we don't use having 12 little Christ childs, because other people look at it from a totally different point of view. They think of the squalling little babies, you know. We think of the little messiahs. Absolutely wonderful. So it is. And I love you very much.